This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome into the Fan Club.
Step one, we buy into this club. Step two, we roll over to the club, either in your Mercedes-Benz or my pre-owned Acura Legend.
It's not as much as a club as it is a couple middle-aged dudes in sweatshirts talking about sports.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Now all the ladies saying bounce, 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 bounce.
But you get the gist. Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
It is a Fan Club Friday on a Red Friday. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Logan Weber with you. We are expecting our guest, Dana Wright, to be stopping by at some point in the hour as well, hopefully this segment. Fan Club Fridays brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. I was telling you guys, the cocktail of the day is the Stone Fence cocktail. If you're thinking about something to maybe sit on the patio tonight, look, it's a beautiful day in Kansas City, and so great patio weather, maybe even a little bit later on tonight when it's chilly, but you get the sweatshirt on and some jeans and you just kind of hang out. We give Cody a hard time, one of his five decks maybe, and we'll check in. Maybe there's a chance we're going to try to call him in like 45 minutes or so to check in, get his game prediction, but also find out. Bink called him soft yesterday. Ooh. Dane and Hughes essentially did the same thing. So we'll give Cody a chance, and he'll be back on Wednesday. But if you're wondering, the Stone Fence, so it's 2 ounces of the Rieger straight rye. If you're watching on the video stream, you guys know, obviously, the great products from Jay Rieger & Co. and some of the cocktails we've been making. This month is all about the straight rye whiskey. And also, you use a little apple cider, some ginger ale, and all of a sudden, you've got your Stone Fence cocktail. So that is the drink of the day here during Fan Club Friday.
I'm not the biggest whiskey guy on the planet, but it is one of a few liquors that I will actually drink with any relative consistency. I'm not a huge ginger ale person either, but I like the mixture with the apple cider.
When it's mixed, the ginger ale.
You can't even really taste the ginger ale because that apple cider is so dominant as a flavor in it. I kind of like it.
So Dana Wright, we'll ask her the random question of the day that we had when she comes in studio. Also, I was told, I truly do not know the backstory. I think I might have came across it on Facebook, but Drew 2 days ago said, yeah, I asked Dana if she will come in studio. And Drew goes, yeah, she's going to come on and she's going to tell you that she almost died this week. I was like, excuse me?
That's what I said when she told me that.
Like, I need more backstory. So that's also why we want Dana Wright in studio. I need to know, what did she mean? She says she almost died this week. Now, that's okay. That's a pretty bold thing to say. And I'm glad, obviously, she's doing all right. I need to know a little bit more about the story.
Yeah, not I almost got hurt this week or I almost got maimed this week. I almost died, which is drastic, to be honest.
I would say so. But we'll hopefully have her join us here in just a little bit. Also, if the timing works out with her and everything, we will have our conversation we had earlier with Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety. He gave us kind of the Denver perspective on how are they feeling. Also, where are they vulnerable? You know, I think we've talked where the Chiefs are vulnerable. I think we all know, is there a chance their O-line's vulnerable? Is there a chance that the Chiefs, you know, you can't get pressure? Is there a chance that in a run game, the Chiefs are vulnerable? All those things. But what about on the flip side? Where can Denver be attacked a little bit?
defensively even. As great as their defense is there an area? And Nick Ferguson kind of told us some shots down the field, which I thought were interesting because, or was interesting because that's an area where the Chiefs, other than with Tyquan Thornton, have not been able to connect.
Yeah, I look at, it's obviously the chances for the Chiefs offense to have their greatest chances of success has got to be with that back seven. You know, you look at no PS2 in this game, you know, Sertan's not going to play. So that puts a lot more pressure on Riley Moss to be cornerback one in this defense, which is not really something I believe he's built for, as much as I love him as an Iowa guy. I look at, you know, putting in Chris Abrams-Drain as that cornerback two, a rookie with a little bit of experience. You know, he's only got, what, 19 total tackles this year. So what is a game, again, where he's got to go a full four quarters against a really as talented a wide receiver core as you're going to see? Talanoa Hufanga is an absolute dog. They use him all over the field. I'm interested to see how the linebackers match up in this football game. Because, of course, you know, no Alex Singleton with the cancer scare thing and the surgery that he had, so he's not going to play. And then you look at the other guys on this offensive line, your defense, or excuse me, linebacker unit, trying to go one-on-one with Travis Kelce or go one-on-one with a Rashee Rice or a Noah Gray or a Hollywood Brown out of the slot. I think the Chiefs could have some success in the middle of the field with a little bit more of an athletic advantage over this Broncos linebacker group.
I was told Dana Wright will not be joining us. Hopefully everything's all right. I'm laughing only the way Drew told me, but she will not be joining us, I guess, for Fan Club Friday.
Right.
So hope everything's all right. But there goes that. There goes that.
She's going to miss out on this drink.
I mean, that's a hell of a tease. She goes from earlier in the week telling us, I almost died, I have to tell you the story, to she's not going to make it in, and we have no idea why. That's a hell of a, I mean, that's a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
there.
Hopefully these are not connected issues.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's, she has a show at 2:00 today on the other station. On KMBZ, our sister station, is she doing her show today?
As far as I'm not going to comment on
silence
anything.
Was deafening.
I know. I'm like, what?
I will not comment on anything. I have no idea. I assume yes, but I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to give her so much crap. Between the incident from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when she came barging in at the end of Fan Club and did what she did to then now, she owes us big time. She owes this show big time at this point.
Unreal.
Someone said a carbon monoxide scare at her house. That was the story from earlier in the week. That explains a lot, actually, because I was wondering the post she had on her Facebook earlier in the week.
She said she said, if you haven't seen my Facebook post, that explains it, I think.
Okay. So that was the whole deal. Okay. She's having more of do you, by the way, real quick, do you own a home?
Correct.
Do you have?
Yes.
You do have the CO2 detectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have two smoke alarms and one carbon monoxide alarm in our house.
That's good.
We should, there's a place for a second one down in the basement. We just haven't installed it yet.
Probably should get that.
Yeah. Valid point.
Okay. I'm glad. Hopefully everything's all right with Dana Wright, but we will not have a guest today for Fan Club Friday. We've had some, look, a lot of it's been warranted. We've had some bad luck with 1 o'clock hour guests this week, haven't we, Drew? We've had three cancellations in the 1 o'clock hour
rough. This
week.
It's been
We've
rough.
Had three different cancellations.
Everybody's locked in for the Broncos. They're locked in for the Broncos.
I know, they're all valid reasons, but it is weird how it's three times this week in the 1 o'clock hour. You know, it's live radio. You pivot, you move on. Nick Ferguson, you'll hear our conversation.
Are we sure Cody's going to answer the phone? You know,
no, we're not sure. Does he know we're calling him later?
I have not texted him
yet. Don't text him. No, I want a live, instant, maybe still on pain med reaction.
You want me to straight up call him when we call him?
Normally, we're not allowed to make a live phone call without the person's permission. He works here. He's on this show. I'm not worried about it.
I'm going to straight up call him.
I want you calling him live on the air at 1:50. Okay. Normally, that's a no-no. We're not allowed to do that.
All right.
But he works here. Come on. He works here.
Yeah, fair.
And it's his show as well, you know?
I think he will have been off the drugs, I guess, for recovery.
I'm guessing he's still on pain meds.
Yeah, but I'm talking like high as a kite type of like.
Oh,
if he's
well,
like,
he's not. You know, he didn't just have surgery, but I don't know. Do they give him the good stuff? I doubt they just said pop it a leave for the rest of the week. My guess is
I agree with that.
Guess is he's on some good stuff.
I agree with that.
So we'll see. We'll call Cody. Get hit. He'll be part of our game predictions later on. Now people are going back and forth with Drew about Drake over and over. Drew's a big fan of Drake.
I like Drake more than most people. I do think the beef was a little bit closer than it made it seem. Anyways.
No.
You said no on Drake?
I think Kendrick killed him.
Well,
in fairness, some of the things that Drake allegated have come up to be true in recent
What about the stuff that Kendrick alleged?
Not so much true, which I think that's part of why there's a lot of allegations thrown out. Kendrick had the best song, of course, but if we're talking allegations straight up, Drake is maybe winning the score right now.
He lost the court battle.
Well, yes.
Someone says it doesn't last 3 days. Well, he can. The pain meds, they may have. There's a chance that the pain meds are prescribed for more than 3 days. What are you talking about? I'm not saying he's got the high from the actual surgery.
That was what I was joking about.
He's on some good pain meds, he could still be, not completely clear through the mind.
Well, let's go. I hope that that's the case because I think it'd be.
People are giving you a hard time. He meant alleged in allegations. We knew what he meant.
I'm sorry. Yes.
You did make it. You did invent a new word, I think, but it's okay.
Alligated?
It is.
First time I
knew what he meant.
It's Irvin Dictionary.
You knew what he meant as well. I was going to let it slide. That's why I was going to let it slide.
First time you said it, I thought you said alligator. I was like, what does reptiles have to do with this?
Okay. Did I really say alligator? I didn't even know. All right.
Someone says, remember when Nick called you and you had no clue you were on air? Called me? I think I remember. What was the circumstance around that? Our old producer.
Were you also undergoing like a.
No.
Was it,
the only procedure? Time I've ever been, put out for surgery was back when I was in high school. I broke my finger. I had to have pins put in my pinky. It was ridiculous. One of the most embarrassing things. I caught a football and broke my pinky. Okay. So.
Ooh. That happens, man.
Yeah.
Did you hang on? Like,
yes.
You caught it? Let's go.
But it
probably hurt really bad, I bet.
Not initially. It's one of those where it doesn't hurt until you look down and you're like, oh, the pinky's way the hell out of, So I have pins. That's the only time I've been put out for surgery.
Oh, that's fine. I spent 2 days in the hospital because I shot myself with a pressure washer.
Wait, what? Yep. On your foot or on your, like, your chest or what?
Middle right of my now. Hand.
So you just said, oh, let me check this water pressure and you used the pressure washer?
Not what happened. It was in high school. I was working at the Sonic Drive-In in my tiny little town of 2,500 people.
Uh-huh.
And they would use the pressure washer inside the store to like clean the tile inside of the Sonic. And then we would take it at night and we would co-clean out, we'd clean the concrete on the individual stalls. And it had the front of the nozzle had different settings on it. Okay. So you could put it on sort of like a Mr. Jet setting, depending on if you were using it inside or outside. So I was one night going out cleaning the outside stalls, and I threw, you got to throw this big 10-gallon bucket of different chemicals that you just poured in here to make this solution. You throw that out there, you scrub it with this big, giant sort of shop brush. And then you spray it with the power washer. So I hit the knot, hit the trigger, and it's doing like the little mist setting thing. It's not nearly strong enough to try to clean off grease or oil off of concrete. So I put the trigger under my right arm, and I was leaned towards the front of it trying to change the setting on the front of the nozzle, and it slipped, and I tried to catch it. I hit the trigger with my elbow and shot myself directly into the hand with it.
Are we doing stupid stories right now? Because I've got one that might top that one.
So, okay, this happens. What's the immediate reaction and what did they do at the hospital?
So immediately,
Was skin just completely gone from your...
No. So, literally, it was just like a small puncture wound in the middle of my... You can sort of see it. I have like this little scar on the base of my middle finger. It was just that. It was just this little puncture on the base of my middle finger. But my middle finger was probably...
Hey, you're flipping us all off.
It was probably 3 to 4 times the size of what it should normally be because all that water and air pressure, had pumped my middle finger three or four times its normal size. So I walk back into the store and I go to my manager and I was like, something bad happened. So they call my parents and they drive me to the ER. I spent 2 days in the hospital Because
2 days for that? Because Cody just had surgery and he went home right after.
Because the pressure, what a pressure washer does, why the water comes out so aggressively is because they pump air into it. So when I shot my hand, not only did I pump water into my bloodstream, they were afraid that I had put air into my bloodstream. So like an air bubble, and if that reaches your heart and pops, it's an embolism. And it could kill you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is so much fun. I'm just here, for 2 days in the hospital because of a stupid pressure washer.
The story I was going to have. I thought mine was crazy.
What's yours, real quick? It's a fan club Friday.
Yeah,
by the way,
we're all talking about how we've been idiots before. So me, I don't know what exactly I was thinking, to be honest with you. So you know those blenders that you make shakes in, like you push a button and it spins.
Can you
and
act it out? Can you explain that for us?
So
on video?
You have a cup. Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me put myself on camera so people can properly see this. Invigorating content. So you have a cup, not like this, it's a water bottle, but you have a blender.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you put the...
Like you do it you for, like, the, for like making the, coffee the and stuff.
Bin.
Yeah.
You put the shake spin into the shake. I thought to myself, I wonder if I would feel this, like if I put my finger... on not in the middle of the blade where it would basically cut my finger off, but put it up against the top of the blade, what would happen? So I put my finger up against it, pushed the button, and I cut my finger open. Still a scar to this day, will forever be one, on my index finger. I'm lucky I didn't lose my finger.
Similar situation
to you, Logan. It happened, and I don't really realize that I looked down, and there is my finger is bleeding profusely. And I was like, we have a problem. My mom turned around. Oh, my gosh. And that was...
So we've all had stupid hand injuries, finger injuries?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, fun stuff.
What's the dumbest one of the bunch? Text line. You can text in.
913-586-7965.
Drew with the blender. Me catching a football and breaking my pinky. And Logan using a pressure washer on his finger that prompted him to have to go to the hospital for 2 days.
Pretty unbelievable stories, actually.
Hand injuries, man. They're something else. They're fickle.
Text line's being mean to you right now, Drew. Being very mean.
Oh, Drew should tell the story of how I became a Bengals fan.
I've already told this story.
It's his idiot story.
It's tough, dude. It's tough.
I already have told that story.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's get back to the Chiefs and Broncos for a bit here. It is a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger. Again, the cocktail of the day is the Stone Fence cocktail using some of the rye whiskey from Rieger. Mix in a little apple cider. If you're wanting the exact recipe, of course, you can go to Rieger's website, but it's 1.5 ounce apple cider, 1.5 ounce ginger ale. It does say to garnish it with apple slices. We did not do the apple slice garnish. I can tell you that, but appreciate Jay Rieger and co. So Chiefs, Broncos. We've talked about the divisional implications. We've talked about our biggest concerns, confidence level as well. Do you think this weekend of the slate of games, you have the Chargers are also playing the Jags. I want to talk about that more because if you're a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for in that game? Number one, the Chiefs have to handle their own business. I get that. But you've got a Chargers team taking on a Jags team. A Jags team is coming off a pretty embarrassing loss to Davis Mills. I mean, they had the lead, full control. They blew that game late to Houston. The Chargers are a team that's dealing with injuries all over the place. They're slight favorites against Jacksonville. Given the standings in the division, you would say you would want the Chargers to lose, but I don't think that's the case. I actually think you want the Chargers to beat the Jags. That way, if the Chiefs were to lose, you don't want the Jags having some wiggle room in the standings. If the Jags lose again, and even if you lose, you're still right there with them for that final spot in the postseason.
I'm with you 100%. Even a Chargers win does nothing for the Chiefs really in either sense of the word in terms of the division race. The Chargers lose this game against Jacksonville. They fall to 7-4. The Chiefs are going to be 6-4. So you're still trailing the Chargers, but you have another game against them, so you're going to have a chance to kind of get rid of that head-to-head moniker that surrounds the Week 1 game. You can, the Chargers could win this game, and you could still catch them in the division. And that's evidenced by the odds that you were talking about. You know, Chiefs win or a Broncos win. Either way, the Chargers don't have great odds right now.
I agree.
And so if the Chargers were to win this game, that helps the Chiefs, I believe, a little bit more than a Jacksonville win does, because if you win, Jags lose, you're right back in the playoff picture again. The downside, and you have to have that happen, because you can't end up in a tiebreaker situation with the Jags because
Correct.
They own the head-to-head over you.
Right.
You have no opportunity to rid yourself of that compared to what you've got with the Chargers. I would say a Chargers win benefits the Chiefs more than a Jags
Absolutely.
Win does.
Yeah, I'm with you. Divisionally, if the Chiefs just handle their business, then they're not worried about the Chargers. Their head-to-head stuff against the Broncos moving forward is a much bigger deal, including, of course, Sunday's game. That's to me, the more important factor here. I think in general, you would normally always say your divisional opponent to lose. But no, I think you want to try to bury the Jags as much as possible, have them keep losing. I don't know what else the Jags have on their schedule at the same time. So the Jags have the Chargers, duh. Then Jacksonville goes to Arizona, very winnable game. Titans, very winnable game. Then they have the Colts, Jets, winnable game. Broncos, tough game. Colts again, tough game. Winnable game, Titans. So there are still, I think, at least two more losses coming for the Jags, which is why in a playoff circumstance, as much as Monday there could be panic if the Chiefs lose to the Broncos, I think the Jags could lose both games to the Colts. Let's say they split. Let's just be fair. Let's say they split their games against the Colts. Are they going to win out against Chargers, Cardinals, Titans twice, Jets, and Broncos? Like, I think they could probably lose both to the Colts, but the Broncos game is very losable for them. They'll probably sweep the Titans. Cardinals is a toss-up game. Jets is probably a win. Like, I think the Chargers have at least two more, if not three more, losses coming their way. The question is, the Chiefs cannot have more than that, right? They have to have one win more than the Jags the rest of the way if we're just talking playoff scenario.
No question. I agree. I think that they'll lose both games to the Colts. I have been of the opinion that I have no belief in this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Even after they beat Kansas City, I still thought, this team doesn't appear like it's a real contending sort of a football team. And right after they get that marquee win against the Chiefs, well, what do? They rattle off three losses in 4 weeks. So right. I still, and they haven't been great losses either. I mean, you got killed by the Rams. You lost on the road to the Texans, in which you gave up 36 points against a team that had really had no offensive success. And Davis Mills was at quarterback. So I think that this Jaguars team probably loses at least three more games, which means if you're the Chiefs and that does end up coming to fruition, that puts Jacksonville
seven losses, 10 and 7,
yeah. Which means you more likely than not
need to get to 11,
have to get to 11.
Yeah. I think there's still a great chance of that happening no matter what happens on Sunday. That's why if the Chiefs win Sunday, then I think a lot of the worry goes away entirely.
Right.
But even if they were to lose and both the Jags and Chiefs, let's say, are 5-5, you know, I still think you're in a decent spot to make sure you at least make the postseason, despite some of the panic that would ultimately set in. All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending here on a Fan Club Friday. Then we'll let you guys hear what Nick Ferguson had to say, former Broncos safety. And then, of course, our official game predictions before we get out of here, right here on Cody and Gold. Back here on a Fan Club Friday, I do want to pass along a few updates on what Andy Reid had to say. Then, Drew, we'll get to a quick what's trending here in a second as well. Andy Reid did speak to the media, you know, on Friday. It's Fast Friday, so it's like a 60-second presser. Easier for us just to pass along the info. Andy Reid did say there is, quote, a chance Josh Simmons will start on Sunday against the Broncos. He went on to elaborate a little more, said he does want to watch some film, talk with Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, before making a final decision. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. That tells me he's starting left tackle on Sunday.
I would lean towards
it. He's fully practiced all week. Andy has said, yeah, there's a chance. Going to watch some film. Look, competitive-wise, I don't know how much advantage you get, but I didn't think he would flat out say. The fact that he didn't rule him out, though, that's the thing.
Right.
Saying there's a chance, I actually think Josh Simmons is starting on Sunday. That's how I took it, at least. Also, for those that were maybe a little worried about seeing Xavier Worthy pop up on the injury report yesterday, Andy said, hey, it's just a tweaked ankle. He's good. He did everything at practice today. He's going to play on Sunday. Good to go. And as expected, Isaiah Pacheco did not practice again today. He's obviously out, much like J.K. Dobbins is out for the Broncos. Even though neither one is officially out, we all are smart enough to recognize you don't practice all week. You're not playing
right in
a football game. So the Chiefs are going to enter healthy with the exception of Isaiah Pacheco. Other than that, full go. And maybe their starting left tackle from week one is good to go as well. That's a great sign for Sunday's game.
No question. Especially from a depth standpoint. Because, you know, while they've had the bye week to sort of get themselves right a little bit, guys like Trey Smith and Wanya Morris and Juwan Taylor and Jalen Moore, now that you've got Josh Simmons back and those guys presumably a little healthier after 2 weeks, you know, or a week off, plus, you know, the preparation for this week, you get a chance where if somebody does re-aggravate an injury, if Juwan Taylor does re-aggravate that issue that he had and he has to leave for a little bit, then if you've got Josh Simmons in at left tackle, you can slide Jalen Moore to right tackle or, you know, or whatever the situation calls for.
Juwan Taylor is going to start at right tackle.
Oh, 100%. I'm saying if an injury occurs during the game, you are not having to hope to God that Wanya Morris can be solid for a half a football or even a quarter, which to this point hasn't necessarily proven itself.
You're saying
to be plausible.
You're back to having the depth on the offensive
exactly.
line. Yeah, I'm 100%
if an injury
there.
Does occur during the game.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I do think Josh Simmons is going to play based on what we now know. And to me, you know, Juwan Taylor, we knew earlier in the week he was good to go. So that's the latest for those of you who were texting and wondering on the Simmons front and the injury front. Other than Isaiah Pacheco, everybody appears to be good to go on Sunday. Still a coaching decision for Andy with Simmons, but we all just saw the quote and read you the quote of what he had to say in that regard. All right, let's get to a quick What's Trending.
What's Trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
We're obviously in the middle of a fan club Friday, thanks to Jay Rieger and co. Had to pivot a little bit. We'll hope to have Dana Wright on in a future fan club Friday. But I already mentioned the injury updates. Elsewhere on What's Trending, AL-NL MVP were announced last night. Aaron Judge wins in back-to-back years over Cal Raleigh this go-around. And Shohei Ohtani continues his dominance. And no surprise, he won the MVP again. He's won 3 in a row, 4 of the last 5. And now I think officially the award season is over, maybe, for baseball.
Yeah, I believe so. Manager of the Year was earlier this week. Cy Young, Rookies of the Year. Gold Gloves have already been announced. They announced the All-MLB team. Bobby Witt
I think it's finally over.
I did see that Carlos Estevez is a finalist for
Reliever of the Year. You got to still announce that.
So that might be the only thing left.
So they announced that after MVP? It just makes their whole formula makes no sense for how long they wait to announce this stuff.
Nope. Make it a one-night effect.
Shouldn't the MVP be the last award you announce if you're going to space it out the way they do?
Or maybe it was Closer of the Year. Maybe not Reliever of the Year, because I thought Edwin Diaz and Aroldis Chapman had won that. But there was some sort of mark on Estevez getting some sort of like closer, whatever the situation called for. It was probably not the MLB award. Maybe it was some other publication.
The Mariano Rivera Reliever of the Year award.
That's what I was thinking of.
He is a finalist for that. All right.
Interestingly enough, we talked about the injury report for the Broncos and for the Chiefs today, but what else is trending? This one could matter to some people across the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills have said that they will not have their top tight end in Dalton Kincaid coming up Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He hurt his right hamstring last week against the Dolphins. There was some hope that Buffalo would have him ready to go in this game. He will not play. So arguably their best option in the receiving game for Josh Allen, not available as they try to bounce back from that bad loss against Miami against a solid Tampa Bay team.
Locally, college basketball. K-State got the win by 3 over Cal last night. KU hosts Princeton tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Darren Peterson will not play tomorrow. According to Coach Self, hamstring still bothering him. That's 2 games in a row that he has missed. Local college football, K-State at Oklahoma State. 11 a.m. kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. KU on a bye. The Missouri Tigers have an evening showdown with Mississippi State at 6:45. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Logan Weber with you. We might try to call Cody here in about 12 minutes or so to get his prediction and also just see, you know, how the recovery is going. He doesn't know we're going to call him, so this should be interesting. We'll do that live on the air. But earlier today, Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety, does radio in Denver, joined us. We started our conversation asking Nick just about how massive this game is for Kansas City and kind of where it stacks up.
Typically when we come on, it's always, okay, well, the Broncos are somewhat the underdog in this. And I know when you look around the league, everyone's giving the Chiefs a fighting chance. But this is kind of the first time that we've ever had this conversation. And the Chiefs find themselves on the precipice of not winning the AFC West. That's very interesting.
No doubt. It's presented a different way to kind of discuss this game. Now, what's the feeling in Denver? Because I think from our side, we look at the Broncos, and it's kind of one of those games where, like, all right, kind of prove it to me that you're ready to end this run, that Bo Nix is going to step up in a spot like this. Otherwise, if the Broncos lose, it's kind of, all right, same old story. At least that's how I view it.
Well, yeah, that is true. But the thing that kind of tips the scales in the Broncos' favor isn't the offense. And now everyone loves it in this league to talk about the offense and offensive coordinator, but it's about the Broncos' defense. The Broncos are 8-2, not because of their offense, but in spite of their offense, and it's because of their defense. And I'll let you in on a little secret that I've been talking about this Broncos team. And, you know, people love to give, you know, defensive groups names, but I've coined the Broncos defense MacGyver. And the reason I call them MacGyver, if you remember the 90s show on CBS, MacGyver was just like Batman without a mask, but he had all these fancy toys like a paperclip and a piece of gum, and he could make a rocket launcher. And the biggest thing about MacGyver was he comes through when you need him the most, and that's exactly what Vance Joseph defense has done all season long. So the Broncos and his fan base, man, they are so excited about what they can do on Sunday against the Chiefs, but it's more or less about the defense opposed to the offense.
You know, Nick, I kind of like that comparison, MacGyver, especially when it comes to that Broncos defensive line, because, I mean, they've got five guys on this team with at least 3.5 sacks and 9 with at least 2. It seems like this defense, Vance Joseph's unit, can come at you from anywhere. What makes this team so special when it comes to getting to the quarterback, regardless of seemingly who is out there at any time?
Well, he talked about it yesterday, and it's an unselfish play. And I told him myself, I say, seldom do you see guys willing to sacrifice sacks, which is sacks are incentives, and that's money that you're taking out of your pocket to give to your buddies, but it's a lot of unselfish play, and they want to see their fellow defensive player celebrate and have success. And I know that's what we think all players want to do, and I'm telling you, as a former player, no, it's not. So to see the defense playing in this way where they want to root for the guy next to him, I mean, truly mean that. That is why that we're seeing the defense play the way that they're playing. And also with additions of Talanoa Hufanga coming over from San Francisco. That guy is by far one of the better safeties that the Broncos have had around here in a while, because he is what I consider to be an eraser. Well, you bring him down in the box, he can blitz from anywhere. He's great at all open field tackles, and he's a physical safety. So there's so many guys that are really buying into what Vance Joseph has sold.
We're talking to former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson here on 96.5 The Fan. Where is there any vulnerability defensively? Like, where can the Chiefs have some success, though, perhaps?
Well, you know what? It's shots down the field, because we've seen this season Riley Moss has been attacked on the corners. Obviously, there's no PS2 in this game. And, you know, I like Riley Moss. Sometimes he gets himself in trouble at the line of scrimmage. But we've all been in that situation as far as with our footwork. But it is tacking them down the field. Like I said, no PS2. You have Riley Moss and Chris Abrams drain. So there's going to be some opportunities. And, I mean, I don't have to tell you, that track team that you guys have with the receivers that you have, it makes it really difficult for anyone to really defend. But that is, if there's one place to attack the Broncos defense, it is on the corners.
So looking at the other side of the football, Nick, you know, the Broncos defense deserves all the credit in the world. This Broncos offense, though, has at times looked fantastic, and other times it's been a little bit slower. The last couple of weeks are on that end of the spectrum. You know, with Bo Nix at the quarterback position struggling the last few weeks, J.K. Dobbins, who knows what his availability is going to be on Sunday. What is it going to take for the Broncos to have success against the Chiefs defense and vice versa in your view?
Well, it's consistency, and it always goes back to starting fast. And for me, starting fast is setting up the run, really leaning on the run. And I know the Chiefs have done a good job this season, you know, kind of stalling teams when teams try to run the ball. But you need balance, man. You have to at least make the Spagnuolo defense think that you're going to run the ball at least 20 times a game, because if you don't, now you give Spags an opportunity to blitz, move Chris Jones around, create the matchups you want to, and now put a lot of pressure on Bo Nix. And we've seen pressure be a problem for the Broncos starting at the beginning of the season with the Titans. So Sean Payton's going to have to come out with one hell of a game plan, but that means the offense is going to have to execute and not have drive killers as they've had over the season with penalties.
Is there a player offensively that maybe those of us in Kansas City are just completely dismissing, not talking about? I mean, we know about Dobbins. I think we know about Cortland Sutton. But is there somebody else that you think could be, I guess, a little bit of an X factor here for the Broncos on Sunday?
Well, there are two guys. Troy Franklin, who got a lot. He was really criticized last year. But he seemed to be involved more in this offense. And I think he has more yards right now than Cortland Sutton. And then Pat Bryant, the team drafted him, and he is a physical guy who loves to block at the point of attack. He's another guy who is developing as a possession receiver for the team. Now, he doesn't have a lot of gaudy numbers, but he is one of those guys, young guys, who understands the game, and he kind of fights and strains to get open. So those two young receivers are two guys, in my opinion, that no one's really talking about and looking at in that particular way that could be major factors in the game on Sunday.
I think one of the more unsung parts of this 8-2 start for the Denver Broncos has actually been this offensive line. It is graded out as one of the best units in football, no matter what metrics it is that you're looking at. And despite that, there's not really like a marquee name, I guess you could say, along this Broncos offensive line. So what is it about those five guys up front that allows them to be so successful as a unit when none of them are massive individuals when you talk about the best offensive linemen in the NFL?
Well, that's just it. It's being great as a unit. And you guys know this. Those offensive linemen, they work well when they've had time to work with one another and work alongside one another. That's how you build that chemistry and continuity. And, I mean, Ben Powers is the only guy that's been injured. Other than that, I mean, these guys have been together for a period of time, and that builds a lot of confidence. Now, here's something else that actually assists with the offensive line not giving up a lot of sacks, but this is also at the same time, you can praise the offensive line, but you criticize the quarterback at the same time. And what I mean by that is Bo Nix has come under a lot of fire locally and nationally because they say, well, he loves to bail and retreat on plays and get outside the pocket. It is his mobility and athleticism that has allowed him to do that, but that also has kept down the sack total by the offensive line. So it's like kind of pick your poison. You can say and praise the offensive line for not really giving up sacks, but you also have to tip your cap to Bo Nix because his ability to scramble and get on the perimeter has also helped out with that stat too as well.
A couple more minutes with Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. How are people talking about the Chiefs in Denver? Like, do you guys view the Chiefs as extremely vulnerable? Like, this is the year to get them. What's the feeling, I guess, even confidence heading into Sunday?
Well, there's two schools of thought. It's like, okay, well, this is an opportunity for the Broncos to finally stomp out their division rival and submit themselves as maybe AFC West title contenders. But also, from my standpoint, it's a little scary. And the reason I say that's a little scary is because Kansas City over the years have found different ways to win. Before it was with their offense. Now it's with their defense. We all know the record of Andy Reid coming off the bye. But now you find the Chiefs in a situation, from my estimation, that we've never seen them in. They've lost to the Jags, the Chargers, and the Bills. And they're on the verge of not being in that conversation as far as winning the AFC West. And for me, like a possum backed in the corner, they're dangerous right now. So we can see almost anything on Sunday because this team is in desperation mode, and we've never seen them in that place before. But for the other Broncos fans, they were like, okay, well, we're going to strike while the iron is hot. This is the prime time to knock the Chiefs over. And I'm like, man, pump your brakes. This still is a dangerous team because right now they're in desperation mode.
If the Broncos win Sunday, if that happens, I think the Broncos are winning this division. Is that also kind of the thought? You mentioned it's a little scary, but if the Broncos win, I mean, I think they are better than the Chargers. They would at that point approve that, you know, they're better than Kansas City. Do you think the Broncos, is it that simple? They win on Sunday, you feel, and people there feel they win this division?
No, it's not that simple, because it comes down to this for me, guys. How is it that the Broncos win? We just talked about the Broncos struggles, and they've struggled, and you know, we like week 10, week 11, and we haven't really seen any daylight at the end of the tunnel. So if you tell me on Sunday the Broncos win, which I'm predicting the Broncos are going to win, but the Broncos do it because now their offense has finally come alive, now we can really have that conversation. But if it's one of those games where it's kind of a defensive type of game, and it's who can kick the game-winning field goal, is it going to be your kicker or is it going to be Will Lutz, then to me it's still up in the air as far as where this team can actually get if they're trying to lean on their offense.
So that was Nick Ferguson, former Broncos safety. He does radio in Denver over on KOA, giving us their perspective. At the end there, like I do think no matter how they win, the division's over if the Broncos win. But I get what he's saying. Like, for the being a contender, being a Super Bowl contender, none of us in this room think the Broncos are a Super Bowl contender. But if they go out and win in impressive fashion and Bo Nix and the offense is rolling to go with the defense, I think everybody's tune will change on them a little bit. So I think that's probably fair on their end. For the Chiefs, and I don't care how ugly it is. Just find a way to win the damn game.
Just got to get the W.
I don't care what the score is. It can be 16-13, and it's ugly, and everybody's like, man, this offense didn't do a damn thing, but the Chiefs found a way to. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. You would like to go win in dominating fashion, 34-21, and everything's sure. Just got to win. Got to avoid dropping to 500. I think it's that simple. All right, let's get to some game predictions. We're going to also try to call up Cody here as well. Game predictions on Cody and Gold. We do these each and every Friday on the show. They're brought to you by Bet365. The gateway to big wins is coming soon to Missouri with Bet365. Let's try calling him. He's been out since Tuesday. He had hernia surgery.
He's on the line right now.
Okay, we texted him. He texted us on Wednesday morning. Surgery went well. I'll save the audio cuts for him when he comes back Wednesday. I must say, though, Cody, Dane and Hughes, Jay Binkley, and others been flat out calling you soft, but I hope you're doing well.
So, you know, that tracks. You know, I'm not even there to defend myself, calling me soft for hernia surgery.
You know? How are you feeling? Did it go well?
Yeah. It went well by normal surgery standards. They did say I came out of the anesthesia a bit crazy.
Were you singing? What was going on?
No, man, I was like, I don't know. I guess I was just trying to get out of the bed. I was just like, this is it. I got to get out of here. I was trying to escape the hospital. I had it, I guess, by the time. You know how it is. Many come out of anesthesia, crazy stuff happens.
Are you on the good stuff still, or how's the pain?
Pain's okay. Still, I don't know. I got a couple of the good stuff, probably pills left. Spreading them out, saving them for the weekend, maybe. Yeah. And then trying to make sure I got enough to make it through next week.
All right.
But yeah, not bad.
I'll let you, when you come back Wednesday, we'll obviously talk more about everything. Glad to hear everything went well, but I got to get a game prediction. The people want a game prediction for the Chiefs and Broncos Sunday.
Admittedly, I've been out of the game a little bit.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, I saw some of the injuries, and you're like, wait, is Simmons, and where is everybody? But in the end, it's like, I don't know. I just don't think the Chiefs have fallen off a planet yet. And bye week, Andy Reid against Bo Nix, I still think they'll win. Not by a lot or anything, and I think it'll be ugly. But I had the Chiefs 24-21 was the final.
Oh, wow.
You guys anywhere close to that range?
That's the identical score I gave to Kramer today for our social media video. No, I like it. All right, man. I appreciate it. And have a good weekend. Continue to heal up, and we'll check in. Obviously, see you on Wednesday.
Will do. See you, fellas.
There you go. That's Cody Tapp. All is well. He sounded hoarse, didn't he? He sounded a little like his voice. Did he just wake up? Or is that just the meds? That's just the meds. His voice sounded a little weak.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Someone says ask him to cough on air. No, that's mean.
Jeez.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get into I'll let him on Wednesday when he's back, when he's really feeling good, give some of the detail. I wasn't going to ask him about the stuff we mentioned before the surgery, which was going to the bathroom and everything. But I'll let him explain that. But okay, his score prediction. It's funny. I have the same score. Seriously. We did a video this morning for Kramer. It'll be out on socials this weekend. I think the Chiefs win 24-21 as well. I talked about it throughout the show. I think in this spot, it's essentially a playoff game. While the team may not say that out loud, I think they treat it that way. They'll have the same intensity of a game like that. I think they come out quick. I think they control this game. I think it's close. Like when I say control, I don't think they're up two touchdowns, but I mean, I think they're in front the whole game. Like I think the Broncos are playing from behind throughout the whole game. Mahomes elevates in these spots. Travis Kelce elevates in these spots. I think there will be some adjustments from self-scouting that Kansas City has as well. We all know the bye week tendencies for Kansas City. So I think the Chiefs get to 6-4, get the 24-21 win, and on Monday, everybody's calmed down a little bit, and we're talking about the Chiefs getting ready to welcome in the Colts.
I don't mind that. I'm sort of in the same area in terms of the scoring of this game. I've got Chiefs 27-17.
10-point win.
I do. I don't think that the Broncos offense is going to have any real semblance of success. I look at the Chiefs scoring 27 points like there might be a turnover somewhere that gives the Chiefs short field and they're able to capitalize on it. But I don't trust Bo Nix being able to lead this offense by himself. Again, it's sort of a show me attitude with RJ Harvey. Like, okay, Dobbins isn't going to go. The reins are yours. What can you do with it? And we've seen across the league this year that these rookie running backs have had to find it as the season has gone on. Even guys that started week one, you know, Ashton Jeanty still continues to struggle. Omarion Hampton was finally starting to figure it out before his injury. I just don't think that they can give the ball to RJ Harvey on Sunday and him rush the ball 20 times for 100 yards. So Bo Nix is going to have to move the ball for this Broncos offense. I'm not entirely sure he can do that. Even when he's not pressured, he's one of the least accurate quarterbacks in football so far this season. Against that Chiefs secondary, I anticipate a turnover or two that really helps sway the tide for Kansas City. I think a 27-17 win is a solid one, and it kind of makes a statement, a two-score victory over the team that leads your division, and you're right back in the middle of Super Bowl conversations that you should already be in.
It feels like this game is just going to be kind of ugly. Like it's going to be one of those games where Denver's defense is able to make some plays. Bo Nix is consistently inconsistent. I feel like the Chiefs are going to be able to take advantage of him as well. It'll be like a 20-ish to 17 type of game is a score that I have, but I think Denver wins the game on Sunday. I think that they make a winning play, whether it's an interception, a fourth down stand, dare I say a missed field goal, whatever the case is. It feels like the Chiefs are going to maybe have a shot to go and win it or tie it, and they won't be able to get it done. It feels like that's going to be the sort of game that it is. But it's not going to be a pretty game, I guess, by any stretch.
Those are our predictions. A couple of people on the text line. Someone said 27-17 Chiefs, kind of like you, Logan, said they're in agreement with you. Somebody else said, this is from John. He says 36-26 Chiefs get the win. Earlier in the show, we asked you guys his confidence. A lot of people were saying 6. Some people were saying 7 as well. I know. On their confidence scale. I'm an 8 out of 10 on the confidence scale heading in. It's funny. You were less confident, but you gave a much wider margin of victory than I did. I was 8, and I gave a 3-point win. You were 6 or 7, and you gave a 10-point win, which is fine.
I feel like my position shifted throughout the course of this show after we talked with Josh, and we talked with Matt, and we talked with Nick Ferguson from over in Denver. I expected the Denver guy to come in with so much confidence.
I'm going
to
let...
But it's like the boogeyman is still there in Patrick Mahomes, which kind of gives me a little bit more confidence in their game against Denver.
I'm going to let Drew's prediction slide. We'll get him on Monday, guys. We'll get him on Monday. Yeah, he said what you heard. Someone said, I just heard what Drew said. Yep, he said what you think he said. But Monday could be a lot of fun. Drew's trying to play villain. His Bengals are toast, so he's got to play villain. He's a Broncos fan now. I get it. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks to Logan and Bink for filling in this week. Logan, you're back with me on Monday.
Yes,
we'll have plenty to talk about then. The Drive is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS.
With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.